Take God's word and turn back with me to Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians 2, focusing on verses 11 through the end of the chapter, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made with the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being built, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God the Father, or for God by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would speak to us now through your word. We ask that you would grant us open ears to hear you. Grant us open hearts to receive your word. Grant us open eyes to see you in your glory. And grant us a mind to understand and comprehend you and your word. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, for illuminating your word to us and for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So like we heard this morning from Genesis 17, we get to see a glimpse of God speaking directly to Abraham. And in this conversation, when Abraham was 99 years old, God said to him in verses 6 and 7, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, though, or through their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God continued in 17:10, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. God continues in verse 14. He warns Abraham here. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God called Abraham in Genesis 12, and he's reaffirming this covenant, his covenant with him. He speaks to him directly. But what was Abraham before Genesis 12? Abraham was a pagan. He lived in a land of pagans. He worshipped pagan gods. He worshipped many false gods. Yet God called Abraham to himself and made an everlasting covenant with Abraham and his offspring. God warned Abraham, though, if those who are not circumcised will be cut off from God's covenant people, for they have broken my covenant, God says. From Abraham comes Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was circumcised. Ishmael called Abraham his father. He was his father, but Ishmael was not among God's elect. Abraham asked God, bless Ishmael. God says, I will bless him, I will make him many nations, I will make him great, but my covenant will go through your son, whom Sarah will bear, Isaac. From Isaac comes Jacob, whom God renames Israel. From Israel comes the Israelites, whom God has established a covenant with. He established a covenant to bring forth the Christ through the Israelites. But those who were not of Israel were Gentiles. Gentiles were pagans. Gentiles did not have the covenant of God. They were against Yahweh. They were against God's people. They hated Yahweh. They hated the Jews. They hated God's ways. The Jews also, in return, hated the Gentiles. The Jews considered the Gentiles nothing more than filthy dogs. There was absolute hostility between Jews and Gentiles. Have you ever met an arrogant Christian? Or more theologically, an arrogant Calvinist or Reformed person? Have you ever experienced some sort of hostility between you and another Christian, another brother or sister? They've wronged you in some way, or they've done something you don't like, or they have a background that you absolutely despise of. Maybe they're from a different race, or they've come from a different religion, or for whatever reason. Maybe another political party. But have you experienced that hostility? Last week we looked at Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, where we saw Paul explain two realities of every Christian. The first reality was our natural state, which every Christian is born as slaves to sin and under the wrath of God. The second was what God has done for us in Christ. But tonight we're going to focus on verses 11 through 23, where Paul encouraged Christians to remember three realities since God brought them into his covenant community. We will see, first, Paul wants us to remember our circumstance. Second, remember Christ brings peace and unity. And third, to remember who you are in Christ. My hope tonight is to encourage you to look back and see how far you have come since God has called you to himself in your walk in sanctification. But first, let's remember our circumstance. Look back at verses 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the promise of covenants, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul is calling for us to remember three things. The first thing to remember is the nature of your past. Verse 11 starts, therefore remember at that time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by the circumcision, which is made in the hands, or made in the flesh by hands. Paul is calling these Gentiles to remember that they are Gentiles in the flesh and uncircumcised. He's reminding them of their pagan birth, their pagan roots, their nature. And not only are they pagans by birth, but they are actually cut off from God and cut off from God's covenant and God's promises. They were not among God's covenant community. The therefore is connecting the idea to what we saw last week in verses 1 through 10. Verse 8 sums up verses 1 through 7, so look at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Why? Verse 9, so that no one may boast. Verse 11, therefore, remember that you were pagans by birth, is what Paul is saying. Their identity was rooted in their nature. They could not boast about their salvation. If they were a Gentile, now in the church, saved by grace, they could not boast to the Jews because they were cut off from God's people. They had no promises from God. They were not among his covenant community. They were cut off, separated. Remember that you were cut off from God and that you did not have the promises, is what Paul is saying. But he's not only talking to the Gentiles here. He's also talking to the Jews, because he says, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. So he's also making reference to the Jews, for which is made by the flesh of hands. The Jews could not associate with the Gentiles, they thought. They're unclean, they're impure, they're unholy. But Paul is saying, before God, their status is no different. For your circumcision that you have is actually made with the hands. Paul makes very many mentions that it's not circumcision in the flesh, but circumcision of the spirit, circumcision of the heart. Commenting on this verse, Brian Chappell says, Paul uses the in the flesh echo to remind Gentiles and Jews that the natural state of all is merely that of the flesh. We are all remarkably human, and in our flesh, this is inescapable. Paul declared in Romans 2:29, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not the letter. His praise is not from God, or not from man, but from God. So Paul is saying, you Gentiles, you have no right to boast for your salvation, for you were not a part of God's people, you never were, you were cut off. And yet, Jews, you also have no reason to boast because your circumcision was that of the flesh. You must be circumcised by the spirit of the heart. We know from Galatians, Colossians, Philippians, and Romans there was a constant battle and hostility between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And it's true throughout all the books. Galatians, Peter is preaching and eating and ministering to the Gentiles, and then his Jewish buddies come and he sits at the table and he ignores the Gentiles. And Paul calls them out for this, saying, you racist, you hypocrite, what are you doing? And in Galatians, he talks about, do not devour one another, but to love. Paul speaks against it repeatedly. We do not understand the conflict between the Christians, between the Jewish and the Gentiles in the first century. The closest that I could think of would maybe be between black and white Christians in the Deep South right after the abolishment of slavery, worshiping together as one body after much hostility and hate and anger and jealousy and envy. But we don't even understand that here. So I'm thinking maybe the closest thing to this hostility that they would have experienced is if half of the church members here in this congregation were lifelong, diehard, family-descended Republicans, and the other half was family-descended, lifelong, diehard core Democrats. And you knew exactly who was the Republicans and who were the Democrats. And not only were you just different in the voting, but you disagreed on like all of the things that the party stand for. Like, you are diehard to these. Think about how you would interact with a brother and sister disagreeing with you on something like this. But not disagreeing with you, but actually thinking that you're wrong and they're right, and holding stances that not only do you absolutely hate, but that you don't even want to associate with. That's the hostility of the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. Because the Jews were uncircumcised and unclean, unholy, impure. They were filthy dogs, according to the Jews. And Gentiles absolutely hated the Jews for this viewpoint of them. There's going to be division and hostility between those two groups that I mentioned. And in a bit, we're going to see what Christ does to this division and hostility. But for right now, I want you to focus on what the consequences of this circumstance would be, of being cut off from God. So the second thing to remember are the consequences of your past. Look back at verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In a lot of situations, we do not want to think about our past or talk about our past or remember our past, for it causes us a lot of pain or sorrow or anger or hate or jealousy or envy, sadness, a whole host of emotions. But yet, if you ignore the past, forget history, then you're doomed to repeat it. Likewise, if you forget the consequences of your sin that you had committed, then you're doomed to fall back into the sin that you once lived. Paul lists five consequences for you to remember here. The first consequence to remember is that you were separated from Christ. The beginning of verse 12. Remember that you were separated from Christ. At that time in your life, you were living a pagan lifestyle. You were born into that lifestyle. That is your nature. Those are your roots. You were separated from Christ. You had no connection to God. You were cut off from His promises. You have no reason to boast because your good works that you are doing now is not your own. It is the work of the Holy Spirit because you were separated from Christ. Paul's reminding the Ephesians that they were worshiping the idols which they once lived among. They were completely separated and without Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:12, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols." That's what the pagans of Ephesus did. They went to the temple and worshiped their false god. They bowed down to their idols. They sacrificed to their idols because they were without Christ. They were without God. There was a time you too lived without God. You were separated from Christ. Paul says to remember that time when you used to live the pagan lifestyle which completely separated you from Christ. You want to boast about your salvation? Well, remember when you were cut off from God. Second consequence to remember is that you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Back in verse 12, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Paul is saying because you Ephesians were pagans, you were not Jews, you were not circumcised, you were not among the covenant community. You were cut off, you were separated. You were excluded from the citizenship of Israel. They could not be a part of Israel. They could not even enter into the temple. They had in the temple courts, they had a specific place for the Gentiles. And they were warned, do not go any farther or else you will die. God gave Israel specific instructions for justice, worship, and mercy so that the grace of His character would have concrete expression in the laws of Israel. Pagans did not have such laws. There was no such protections of the citizenship that were available to the Gentiles. They were completely cut off. They lived outside of God's protection and His promises, both in political status and in temple worship, because they were cut off. Likewise, when you were separated from Christ, you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Jesus is the true Israel. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship of heaven. You had zero spiritual protection of God's wrath and judgment and hell. You had no protections of eternal life, which were only for those who were in Christ. You were also cut off from the commonwealth of the church. Now, some of you probably did grow up in church. I did not grow up in church. I did not grow up in a Christian home. No one ever read the Bible to me. No one ever taught me how to pray. No one ever showed me or pointed me to Christ. No one ever warned me of sin. No one ever warned me of judgment or hell. No one ever told me about repentance or faith. No one ever told me about baptism. No one ever baptized me. No one ever took me to church. I was cut off, completely separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, or i.e. the church. So for me, this passage is reality. And if you did not grow up in the church, this also speaks volume to you. You were a pagan by birth. You were completely separated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were a stranger to the covenants of promise. You had no hope and you lived in the world without God. Here's the terrifying reality. I had no idea that I was storing up God's wrath for myself. And I was in the fast lane barreling down towards hell to receive God's judgment. Maybe that is you. But those are the pagans. Those are the Gentiles that Paul is talking about here. Third consequence to remember is you are strangers to the covenants of promise. Look back at verse 12. And strangers to the covenants of promise. Now here at Northland Reformed, we hold to covenant baptism, which God reveals sovereign blessings upon the children who are baptized to Christian parents, into the Christian family. They receive God's covenantal blessings and promises. Likewise, we saw this morning in the baptism of Riley, the recognizing of God's covenantal promises to her and to her family and to the church. These would be the Jews. They received God's covenant promises. They were circumcised. They received God's word. They had the oracles of God. They had God's promises. So if you grew up in a church as a child, then you received God's covenant promises. You heard the word of God preached to you. You had somebody teaching you how to pray. You had church members and family praying for you. Maybe you were baptized as a child if it was in a Reformed or Presbyterian church. You received the covenant blessings. The covenants of promise is referring to the promises of God to be the God of His covenant people. God made a covenant with Adam, with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, and with David. And He also renewed those covenant promises with Joshua, Ezra, Nehemiah, and others. God covenanted to send a Redeemer to save His people. Every aspect of life for God's people was done through covenant. I want you to think about this. The people were a covenant people. The covenants of promise were not only in relationship to God, but also in relationship with all of life, such as marriage, family, social affairs, and worship. They were a covenant community, a covenant people. To be strangers of the covenant of promise was to live without God and without His promises and intimacy in all of life. That's in family, in worship, and in the community. The Gentiles were strangers to the covenants of promise. And if you were like me and did not grow up in church, you too were a stranger of the covenants of promise. For you did not receive the covenant blessings of God through the church, through His word, through prayer. We were living outside of God's covenantal promises in the state of sin, rebellion, and alienation from God. Fourth consequence to remember, looking back at verse 12, is that you had no hope. Being outside of God's covenantal people separated you from Christ, which leaves you with absolutely no hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. Before Christ, when you were living your life for yourself, worshiping yourself, and living a life of sin, you had no hope because you lived for yourself. And why did you have no hope? Because you were living apart from God. You were living in the world without God. Which leads us to the fifth consequence to remember is that you were without God. The end of verse 12. And without God in the world. You were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, and had no hope because you were living in the world without God, and you were cut off from God along with His promises. When everything's going great, and you think everything is going great, you may start to feel prideful, arrogant, boastful. Everything's great, so God's blessing me. I have no problems. I have no health issues. I'm fine financially, whatever it is. Everything's good. But you kind of forget your past. Forget where you came from. And you say, God's good. Everything's great. But remember who you were before Christ. Because before Christ, you were separated from Him. You were alienated from Him. You were a stranger to Him. You had no hope because you were without God. Salvation has nothing to do with our works, has nothing to do with what we can do or say or think or act. But it's all by God's grace. Paul does not leave the Ephesians in despair here, though, and neither should you. Focusing on the consequences of your past, but focus on who you are now in Christ, since He has brought you near to Himself. The third thing to remember is your identity in Christ. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. You were far off, separated, and alienated from God, but now in Christ Jesus, you were brought near to God by the blood of Christ. You are now no longer separated from Christ. You're no longer an alienated or from the commonwealth of Israel. You're no longer alienated from God. You're no longer alienated from the commonwealth of the church. You're no longer a stranger to God. You're no longer a stranger to the covenants of promise. You're no longer cut off from God and His promises. You now have hope, and you now are living in this world with God, with hope. You are now able to declare with Paul in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You can proclaim, remember that you are now in Christ Jesus. The cleansing power of Jesus' blood when He took the penalty for our sin upon Himself on the cross. Christ has brought us near to the holiness of the temple and reconciled us to God Himself. But we are not only beneficiaries of God, of Jesus' death. We are also recipients of the blood of His life. His blood, His life flows through us, through the Holy Spirit. We draw near to the Holy Temple because the blood empowers our hearts, fills us, our bodies, and grants us the eternal life that He has promised us. For life is in of Jesus. We've not only forgiven our sin, but we are also filled with the benefits of His righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Paul declared in Colossians 1:21 and 22, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He, that is Christ, has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him." Second reality to remember is Christ brings peace and unity among His covenant people. Look back at verses 14 through 18. "For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by the abolishing of the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who are near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." So as I said earlier, the Jews, the Christian Jews and the Christian Gentiles, there was much hostility and division and hate and strong feelings and emotions toward each other. Much like the scenario I gave to you earlier with the political differences. But by the blood of Christ, they are now broken down the wall of dividing. They're brought down the walls of hostility. Verse 14 and 15 says, "He has now broken down the dividing walls of hostility and creates a new man instead of the two." Christ's blood brings peace, not division. It brings unity, not only by destroying the ancient enmity, but also by creating the new humanity. We're no longer Jew and Gentile. We are now Christian. That's what Paul's saying. You're no longer a Jew. You're no longer a Gentile. You are now Christian. You're now in Christ. You're now one. You're no longer the two. Jesus' blood brings peace and unity for all who are in Him. Look back at verse 16 and 17. "And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the Christ, through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near." By Christ's blood, Jesus provides the sacrifice that makes the shedding of blood in the temple sacrifices no longer necessary. So all of the things that the Jews had, what they thought kept them near to God, was no longer necessary. Jesus was the sacrifice. Jesus broke down the hostility and the walls of division. There was no longer the two people groups, but the one humanity is no longer Jew, no longer Gentile, but it is now those who are in Christ. The flesh divides, but Christ unites. It is the blood of Jesus that all races, genders, and ages can worship God together and be united as one church, the church. Jesus died for His elect, and His elect are made up of people from every tribe, nation, and language group. According to Revelation, every nation, Every people group, every language will be present. It is no longer Jew, no longer Gentile, no longer this or that. But you are a Christian. You are in Christ. Not only does Christ bring peace and unity with other Christians, but he ultimately, the blood of Jesus brings peace with God. Verse 18. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. The blood of Jesus reconciles us to God. Paul said in Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. It is only by the blood of Jesus that we have peace and reconciliation and unity with God. By the blood of Jesus, we are now able to call God Father. We are now able to go to him directly in prayer. We have access to the throne of grace through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14:6, no one can come to the Father except through me. You have access to God the Father through his Son, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we pray in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Third reality to remember is who you are in Christ. Look back at verses 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Paul gives four declarations for your new identity in Christ. First, Paul declares you are no longer strangers and aliens. Beginning of verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. By the blood of Christ, you are no longer separated. You're no longer a stranger. You're no longer a foreigner to God and his promises. You are no longer alienated from him and his people. You're no longer a sojourner, but you are now a citizen of his kingdom. Second, Paul declares you are a fellow citizen in God's kingdom. Verse 19 continues, but you are a fellow citizen with the saints. You are now a fellow citizen within God's kingdom, with all of God's people. You now receive all of God's promises. By the blood of Christ, your citizenship is no longer of this world, but it is in heaven with God. It will be realized in the new heavens and new earth, where you will see Jesus face to face. As we saw last week, you have already been raised with Christ and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. This is already a reality. Third, Paul declares you are members of God's household, continuing in verse 19, and members of the household of God. In Christ, you are now a member of God's family. In Christ, you are adopted. You are a son and daughter of God. You have the rightful heir to God's kingdom and his eternal inheritance. God is your Father, and you are able to now not only go to him, but now you are able to call him Father. As Paul declared, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:7 says, you are no longer a slave, referring to a slave of sin, but you are now a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. In Christ, you have the power and protection of God and receive all of his privileges. Finally, Paul declares that you are the temple of God. Look back at verses 20 and 22. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The prophets and the apostles, their messages were the same. They all pointed to Christ. It never changed. Their message never changed. They are the foundation for God's holy temple, pointing to Christ, who Jesus has declared as the cornerstone of his temple. Christ, Jesus himself, is the cornerstone in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into the holy temple and the Lord. Christ is that holy temple. He is the cornerstone. Isaiah 28:16 said, Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. If you are in Christ, then you are among God's people being built up into this holy temple, filled with the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God dwells. 1 Corinthians 4:16-17, you are God's temple. God's Spirit dwells in you, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. 2 Corinthians 6:16-7:1, for we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separated from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have access to these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit. Bring holiness to the completion in the fear of God. If you are in Christ, then you are among God's temple being built up for His glory. And let the glory shine through you. That's John's vision in Revelation when he sees this massive temple and he sees God's Spirit inside this temple, and it's the glory and it's filling the temple, but it's going beyond the temple out into the whole world. That's because the temple is not only Jesus, but it's His people filled with the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them, where the entire earth will become the temple of the Lord when we reign with Him. So tonight we've seen that Paul encourages Christians to remember three realities since he's called them to himself. That you should remember your circumstance. You should remember that Christ brings peace and unity. And that you should remember who you are in Christ. My intent was to encourage you tonight to look back to see where you were before Christ, but to see where you are today in your sanctification, and to praise God for where He has brought you. Because if you're like me, you can look back and you have memories of your time before Christ, and you can only say, I'm here tonight by the grace of God, by the will of God. There's nothing in me that would have been here. But God had a different plan. Same with you. Before Christ, you were living for yourself, probably with no desire to come to Christ. But then God called you to Himself. And so we look back at where we were before, but we're able to see grace of God and the sanctification throughout life to where we are today. And eventually one day we'll see it fully realized in glorification when we meet Him face to face. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for granting us salvation and building us into the holy temple of the Lord. We ask that You would fill us full of the Spirit to reflect Christ towards others, and that You would be glorified in our lives with our thoughts and our actions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.